on completing these applications, receiving and completing them. And we want to use some technology. And we've been discussing this since before I got here. And our partners with IPS. IPS is our meter supplier, where we've purchased our meters from and who maintains them. And IPS has an online reservation system that I wanted to show you guys. And they've put in some effort and some time into creating a portal for us. And we're not quite ready to pull the trigger on this. We wanted to just show you guys what we're thinking. But essentially, you know, it takes a lot of time for our office staff to complete these applications and approve them and take payments. And we wanted to provide a convenient way, a more convenient way for customers to reserve meters and loading zones. And we're looking at the portal that customers would be pointed to in the future when we decide to go forward with this. So this is our permit page. We would have a link included on our website for this page. You create a user profile, and this is just in the beta testing phase right now. It's not quite to the level of production yet, but we're getting through some changes here. There's a couple buttons here. If you've already submitted and have permits approved, this is what your permit page looks like. And you have a history of all the permits. These are all tests, of course. But this is the real, where you really start. So on our site, you would, you know, select one of the areas. We can select 4th Avenue. And then here are the pricing, the menu for our reservations. Of course, special event is down to $450, but right here, I don't think we asked them to add food truck, and we could take a look at that because that obviously goes against what we were just discussing there. So we have some work to do there, and maybe we eliminate that. But construction, residential leasing are available at $9 a day. So you would select the construction rate, for example. Our little map pops up, and you can zoom in, and you can select a meter. So I've selected a meter now, and that meter has now been put into your bucket. And then you can select your days. And so I select the 23rd and the 29th. It adds up all the rates and gets you a grand total. It does remind you to add your credit card. We're working through this section of the application. They have to add a credit card to their profile. And they also have to add a vehicle for the reservation. I already have one selected in here. So you just do that. You do have to submit a supporting document, whether that's a construction permit or whatnot. So we know that this is legitimate. And it's asking me for a required document. I'm not going to do that, but just wanted to show you the future of parking meter and loading zone. Sorry, not loading zone, just meter reservations. This doesn't apply to loading zones yet. We don't have those loaded in here. The other aspect to this is, and it's not showing, but that is the payments and the fees. So this just shows our straight fee, but IPS, because they would be taking payments, charges a credit card transaction fee, and there's a gateway fee for that and processing fees. Those fees total $4.50. 50 cents of that is a permit fee per meter per day. So every day there would be a 50 cent charge added per meter. And then a one-time $4 fee for just making the credit card transaction, essentially. So really this price, once we finish the configurations, this fee should show like $58, $58, and then adding 50 cents for every day that this 1 meter is reserved for. So our plan right now is to pass that fee on to the customer. We discussed that a lot, and taking any input, you know, Park Tucson, we have a choice. We could eat the fee and pay for it ourselves. If we do that, we'd be losing money compared to what we're making now. We could split the fee in any way that we want, you know, pass some of it on to the customer, some of it on to Park Tucson, or we can put the whole fee on the customer. Right now, my suggestion is to place the fee on the customer for their responsibility. It is a convenience. It does also take us some manpower to approve these on the back end. So I don't have a start date as of this time proposed for the kickoff of this, but our plan is to introduce this as a pilot program to five frequent flyers, we call them, folks that do make these requests quite often. So we would start out with just a small group and try to work through any bugs and see how that goes, incorporate any changes, and then put it on our website for the public. So I'll take any questions or comments on our future curbside reservation program.
I think that's really cool, Tom. And I guess my only I like the fee passed on to the customers, because you're right, there is a convenience for it. And this seems really easy and user-friendly too. And then obviously the process gets quicker for them as opposed to the paperwork. I guess my only suggestion would be, like, and you probably already thinking of doing this, but maybe implementing the loading zones in this at the time of the launch. Are you planning on doing that, or will there be two, like, separate, like, a paperwork process for the loading zones, and then the meters would be online?
That's a good question. I think we have to work through that and discuss that when we would incorporate the loading zones. JR, I don't know if you have any thoughts about that. Do you see any obstacles right now to adding loading zones, or is there a different, you know, is there anything different we have to consider if allowing loading zones to be included on the web process?
Yeah, so for right now, it's going to be two separate processes. It's going to be meters are going to be online. The loading zones are going to be pretty much the same way with paper in person. There's got to be some work to add the loading zones to the system. So all the meters, when they install meters, the meters get geocoded. So it's easy for them to have the interactive map where you can select, and the loading zones don't have that. So there's some work on our end that has to be done in order for us to be able to get the meters into the system, but it can be done. We have had talks about getting those in there. It's just not going to be at launch.
That makes total sense, and thanks for clarifying that. I was thinking, and probably like with 4th Avenue, they're like Street Fair or like Tucson Meet Yourself. I'm assuming those are kind of the frequent flyers. I'm assuming those are kind of just like a blanket request, right? So they wouldn't need to go through two separate. That was, I guess, where my suggestion was coming from, was those like frequent flyers. One, they'd have to do this process online for their event, and then they'd have to do the paperwork for their event. Or is it just like a blanket process through the special events permit or something like that?
For some of the big events, you know, it may be something where they continue to do it like they currently do, and then maybe we just enter through the back office, we'll enter those meters, you know, because on the other flip side of this is it's going to make it easier for our agents to see what needs to be hooded, what needs to be removed. So instead of, like, you know, just have an Excel spreadsheet that has listed days of when stuff go up and go down, where this is going to be, they're going to print a report daily that's going to show what goes up, what comes down. So on the other side of it, it's going to make it easier for our agents. So for like Tucson Meet Yourself or something like that, it may be that they just send it to us in a email, and then we go through and put it into the back office to get those meters listed into the system.
That makes total sense. That makes sense. Thank you so much.
Thanks, JR.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Any other comments on that topic? Okay. Are we on on-street meter? Oh, on-street parking meter status report?
Yes. So one of the things we have a constant turnover on is our backup batteries for our parking meters. The way the parking meters work, there is a solar-powered battery. But when that runs out of juice, our backup batteries kick in. We've had issues with our backup batteries lasting to our liking long enough to keep all our meters in service. Unfortunately, we have to make two or three backup battery purchases a year right now. It is quite expensive. But we try our best to keep as many meters in service as possible. We're constantly looking at the reports and making sure that our meters are in service. The company IPS that is looking into this also is looking at the configurations of the meters. We feel that there's something going on where it's pulling too much power or more power than necessary. So there might be some programs running on these meters that don't need to be. So their team, they're out of San Diego, they're looking at all of our meters right now to ensure that our configurations are correct and are not drawing more power. That seems to be the main issue with our out-of-service meters. When a meter goes out of service, expect the customer to pay via the app. The app still works, and you can't pay for that. We have signage on our meters indicating that the app is still available. So we also put a paper piece of paper in the display with a QR code for the app to pay. When we do service the meters, and that's on a weekly basis, if it's out of service, we're putting a message in there saying, hey, this meter's, it doesn't look like it's working, but you can pay for it via the app. But it's definitely not ideal. I just want to let you know that we're working as hard as we can to keep all these meters in service as much as possible. We're also getting ready to ship back a set of damaged meters and hope to receive repairs and new meters to replace those in the next month or two. But definitely the goal is by the end of August, we just submitted the order for the backup batteries. We hope to get those within a couple weeks, and we can get those in pretty soon. So by the end of August, we do hope to make a dent in the amount of meters out of service. And once again, continuing to make sure that we're doing everything in our power to make sure these meters last as long as possible.
I have a question, Tom, and it's about if a parking meter is not working, if the display doesn't display anything, say, is it still able to, what if people are putting quarters in that meter, is it still able to tell how many quarters, the time, like is there an electronic something that still works if the display isn't working?
Unfortunately, no. And JR, I don't know if you have any additional information on that, but to my understanding, unfortunately, it does not register that payment if it's coins.
Correct. Yeah, if the screen is dead, the whole meter is dead at that point. It won't know that it's doing anything.
Gotcha. For the enforcement staff, are you all giving warnings, or are you ticketing people, or how does that work on the enforcement side when a meter's not working, someone's parked there?
I'll defer to JR.
Okay, yeah, we just do, the agents are aware that if the meter is dead, pretty much we're not gonna enforce the meter not being paid. We obviously want them to pay with the app. You know, that's why we're putting the decals in there. But if that meter is not functioning, we're pretty much just doing the time limit portion of it. So if it's going to be a 2-hour meter, we're not going to cite them for the meter being expired, but we do expect them after the 2 hours to leave the space. So we will still enforce that 2-hour time limit side of it.
Gotcha. And then in that scenario, is the agent somehow recording by taking a picture that if it's an hour time limit, they got here at 10:59, it's now 12 p.m., now I can give them a time limit ticket? Is that how that works?
Yeah, we have within our enforcement app, we have a thing in there called timing. Basically, the agents are putting locations, license plates, they'll mark valve stems of the tires to know that vehicle's been moved or not. And then when they come back after that time limit has expired, they can see it. The way the city code reads, if they can't park within the same block for any portion of two time periods. So the valve stems aren't really all that important. Even if the vehicle is moved to a different space, as long as it's still within the same block, it's enforceable.
I'm guilty on that one by so many times. I haven't got a ticket yet. Well, cool. I guess my only concern, like with the QR code, is if people don't have a cell phone or if they don't use the QR code. I'm just thinking of like my own Nana. She uses the Armory Park. I'm not thinking for her, but just she uses coins and she actually has an iPhone. But maybe someone like her that may not know how to use an app or they have difficulty with an app. I don't know what the policy is, but like you won't, even if the app code or whatever is on the meter and the meter's not working, you won't give a ticket at all. Is that correct? Or what is the policy?
Yeah. So that's kind of what, I mean, we're not really like, we have people that are frequent flyers with looking for broken meters, you know, trying to get away from paying. Yeah. So it's not really like standard. Basically, we're not going to force, if the meter is functioning, we're not going to cite you for that meter being functioned. We're going to try to put verbiage in there to tell you, we want you to pay with the app. You know, we're trying to force people to pay with the app if it's broken, but we're not going to penalize you for the meter being down. At that point, we won't issue the citation for the meter being expired, but like I said, we will still do the time limit. But it's not something that we're making, you know, if you call our office and you tell us, hey, this meter is broken, we'll let you know you have the 2 hours. But it's not something that we're telling people, because like I said, we do have people that are driving around looking for those broken meters so that they know that they can park there all day for free. And that's something that we're trying to get away from. That's why we're putting those decals in there, to make sure that people know there are other options to pay. And if that meter is broken and you don't have the option to pay with the app, you should find a location that you can park at and pay for your parking.
That makes sense. Thank you so much for that clarification. Does anybody else have any questions or comments on that topic? If not, we'll move on to parking service agent staffing levels.
Thanks, Zach. As you know, we've provided some updates on this in the past, and we had good news that we were able to hire 5 parking service agents to get up to a full staff with our parking service agent 1 positions. We have 2 parking service agent positions. One is a level 1 and one's a level 2. The 1s outnumber the 2s, and that's by design. So we did have a full staff until recently. We recently lost 3 parking service agent 1s in about a 2-week span for different reasons. So wanted to let you know that we have those 3 positions available again, and we are currently looking to fill those positions. We're first going to the option of a temporary labor company that we have had success with in the past. In fact, 2 of our full-time parking service agents were originally from a temporary staffing agency, and they are now fully on board with the city here. So we're using that company. If we don't have luck with that company, we're going to post these positions available, you know, through the city process within the next 2 weeks. So just wanted to provide you that information that we're down to three. We have three available positions, but we do have currently, let's see, one, two, three. We have three parking service agent ones right now, and we have one, two, three, four parking service agent twos currently. So we do have eight folks out there enforcing, but we do have those three open positions. We still have a parking service agent two position available. The way that gets filled is you have to be a parking service agent one first, and then you get promoted to a two. The current parking service agent ones haven't been here for that long, so we're that number two position would have to wait until one of those folks are promoted, which is going to be several months before that happens. So, yeah, that's our update on the staffing levels. I'll take any questions.
Okay, thank you, Tom, for that report. I'm assuming the next one is yours as well. Public outreach and stakeholder engagement regarding proposed extended meter enforcement hours.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. And I'm going to show you what we've done here. You guys can see this Excel sheet, I believe, right now. This is a sheet that I think you're all familiar with. As you know, over the past meetings several months ago, this was discussed with the full commission, and this was the scenario that was voted on to go forward with. It's a simplified scenario. Just to remind you, we had several other complicated or more complex scenarios that divided the districts up into different areas with different times. So after reviewing all these, there was also an 8 to 7, which is also simple. The commission ended up with the 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. scenario. And I wanted to let you know what our plan is and receive input from this committee for the plan. So the current enforcement hours are Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. The proposed enforcement hours are Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And it's a little wordy here. I'm not going to read everything, but just to summarize, essentially we have discussed this, and it was even discussed with previous administration and mayor and council as well. But the Park Tucson team did conduct occupancy counts that showed a consistent lack of on-street parking availability after 5 p.m. and on weekends, because as you know, we don't enforce after 5 or on weekends. And we did select the option of 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. The estimated approximate annual revenue increase would be $500,000. And just some supporting documentation. In 2022, a couple memos were sent up to the department head and mayor and council. At the study session of mayor and council in September of 22, we were provided direction to initiate outreach with stakeholders regarding the hours. And it was ongoing outreach. We did receive support from Mercado and Iron Horse, and that we would continue with the outreach. That was placed on pause for a while, but here we are trying to gain some momentum again. Another memo just went into some of the reasons for this. On-street parking occupancy in the downtown area is free. The result is that employees park in convenient spaces that are intended for customers with no time limits or cost to park, and there's little turnover. Full or occupied on-street parking areas force those looking for available parking to drive around, creating traffic issues and significant parking revenues left being on the table. Comparing Tucson to other peer cities in the Southwest, we are the only city that does not charge for on-street parking in downtown after 5 or charge on Saturdays. So all these cities do charge after 5 and on Saturdays. So you have the three cities in Arizona around the three main universities. You know, Tempe goes Saturday till 10 p.m. Flagstaff, Fridays and Saturdays, they extend it to 8, where we are 8 to 5. Phoenix is just a blanket Monday through Sunday, so that's 7 days a week. We are not proposing to do anything on Sundays. That would remain free. But Phoenix goes till 10 p.m. Las Vegas, that we're basically the same scenario as Las Vegas is what we're proposing. Monday through Saturday, 8 to 8. Albuquerque goes to 6. El Paso goes to 6. And actually goes till 3 a.m. in their uptown neighborhood. And Colorado Springs goes till 10 p.m. So here's our plan. Ward communication was suggested by my leadership to start first. Our director of transportation, Sam Credio, meets with the wards individually monthly, and we're trying to get this topic onto his agenda with the wards. The wards involved would be 1, 3, and 6. Those are the main wards that have the parking meters. We are drafting an outreach communication to the public and the intended audience for this communication are area residents and business owners in the four districts. And September through October, that I meant to say 24, public outreach and incorporate comments. And the launch of the hours is proposed to be in January of 25. We're looking at deploying this in a section by section scenario, and this is not finalized at all. But the initial thought is that Mercado would go first. If you don't know, Mercado does not have meters currently installed. They do have the 2-hour time limits. We are working with Mercado to schedule the installation of the parking meters and a few of the pay station kiosks, which works similar to meters, but you just type in your space number and your license plate at the kiosk to get the permit. So I don't have a date when we're gonna do that. We were hoping for this summer, but we're still in talks with Mercado to finalize that schedule. Fourth Avenue would be next, but only after Downtown Lynx is complete. I don't have an update on Downtown Lynx officially. I know it was supposed to be done by the end of this year, but in passing, I did hear that January sounds like a more reasonable expectation for the completion of Downtown Lynx. And then downtown and then the university area. University area, we would like to incorporate during a school break. So it's not right in the middle when all the students are here. And then the plan would be that we would commence enforcement of the extended hours with a 2-week warning period first, just to make sure we're educating before citing. So I have a rough draft of the communication. This communication is not final. I can send this to the group and ask for your input. But once again, before we issue this, and Zach, thanks so much for offering the assistance and getting contacts to distribute this. I will be looking to you for some help with that and other stakeholders. But yeah, we would only send this after the wards are spoken to. So basically, we're stating that all meters are currently Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and that it's free after 5 and on the weekends. The proposed hours are Monday through Saturday, 8 to 8. Parking meters would continue to be free after 8 and on Sundays. Proposed date would start in January of 25. Parking meter rates are not proposed to be changed. All parking meters are and will continue to be priced at $1 per hour. The purpose for extending the parking meter enforcement hours is to provide increased on-street parking availability and turnover, enabling more users to share the curb space. And this Tucson Curb Framework Plan, which is available on our website, and we'll provide the link, is a guiding document for our management approach. It's a strategic evaluation of curb space in Tucson. This was completed a couple years ago, and it's a pretty lengthy document, but it definitely talks about on-street meter parking, and it applies industry standards and metrics to allocate the curb space, determine trade-offs between the various uses. And as the ecosystem in Tucson continues to evolve, this framework should be used to develop a curb environment that provides equitable access for all. So in order to accommodate the diverse needs of all the users, pedestrians, cyclists, transit riders, motorists, it's important to manage the curb. For curb lanes that provide metered or managed street parking, the key metric of curb lane efficiency is parking turnover, and metered parking places a value for time spent at the curb. We know that on-street parking is a critical resource for supporting retailers and other businesses. It's usually the most convenient parking option for customers and employees. And meter parking also supports turnover by allowing parkers to use on-street parking, track their duration, and leave when their session has expired. And metered spaces regulate time, duration, and groups. And this helps prevent vehicles from using the limited curb space to their long-term parking needs. The framework plan has a target range of 75% to 85% metered occupancy. So that's really what we should strive for in our on-street parking occupancy. This allows for a balance between easy to find parking. We know that, you know, 15% of the spaces should be available to find and should be open, but we're using it to a degree where it is used for what it's for, to manage parking and for revenue generation as well. The city's metered occupancy after 5 and on Saturdays exceeds this target occupancy. We know this from the car counts that the Park Tucson team did 2 years ago. And it's not only does it exceed, it's like above 100% in some places. So we definitely know that we exceed this target range during those times. So extending the enforcement hours would achieve in this target range. And then this is just, you know, a summary of information. You know, we provide parking meters along the Sun Street streetcar corridor. They range from half an hour to 6 hour time limits. Most meters are 2 hours. And time limits are displayed on signs and on the meters. We talk about how we accept apps, coins, credit, debit, and our Park Smart card and our app to make payments. We do have an interactive map that shows every parking meter location here on our website. And we plan to host 2 virtual open house events in September and October. Don't have the dates yet, to provide information and to collect comments. And then we want to also provide a website and or email address for questions and comments. These dates are not set either, but we want to give about 2 months worth of time for folks to share their thoughts. So yeah, that's essentially what the planned outreach is looking like. Let me see if I have another thing to share that supports this real quick. I was just going to, show you. Oh, yeah. So this is what the framework plan is. This was conducted by a consultant in February of 23. It's 266 pages long, but there are several pages that talk about managing, you know, space and time limitations on our curb. And, you know, we do have a lot of, you know, backup material to support these decisions. So, that was essentially what I wanted to share with you today. So I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Tom. The those talking points and the comparisons other cities are going to be important in the outreach. So those are awesome. I didn't, I knew about a few of those cities, specifically Flagstaff. I was just there, and I know we have 7 minutes, so I'll shut up soon. but you know, I was able to find a space in downtown Flagstaff. It was like 7 PM on a Saturday. And notice their meters go till 8, and this is in like the thick of their downtown, little small downtown area. But it's good to see those other city comparisons too. And just going back to, you know, the reasons why and those talking points. So those will be helpful, not only, you know, for you all in your outreach, but me as well when I talk to businesses, stakeholders, and board members. So yeah, feel free to send it out and I'll give my feedback, and I'm sure other folks as well. And then we're happy, like you said, to distribute this through our channels. Is there any other comments or questions about this topic? Okay. I don't see anyone. So we'll go on to number 6. And Tom, did you have anything else on that topic?
No, thank you. Thank you, Zach. Duly noted that the comparison to other cities should also be included in the outreach. And my boss has not yet had a chance to provide her input for that message outreach. And our communications department at DTM, we have a great staff over there, and they're going to help me package this communication so it's consistent and gets the points included that we need to make. So thank you.
Gotcha. Awesome. Yeah, and you don't have to include them, but it was good for me to see. And, you know, if you all think it's helpful, I don't think it needs to be, but, you know, maybe to show that, maybe it would be, I'm not sure, but maybe just even in talking with people, you know, right. Tucson is the only city in Southwest or West or wherever. So, right. All right. If there's no other questions or comments on that topic, number 6, future agenda items.
Yeah, I don't have any proposed at this time. My plan is to just keep you updated on the current topics, but taking any suggestions for future discussion. Food trucks can be placed on there if you'd like, Zach.
That would be great, because I have a feeling that, and just given that outreach timeline for the meters, I know this specific business owner will kind of correlate these two topics, and rightfully so, and he has some points, and so yeah, that would be awesome.
Okay, will do.
Does anybody else have any future agenda items? Last questions, comments? Awesome. Well, it's 9:26 and we can adjourn. I don't think we need to make any motion or anything, right? We just adjourn?
Yes, staff is not asking for any motions. Yeah.
Okay, sweet. All right. Thank you so much, Tom and JR and the staff for your time, and everyone else for your time. And I hope you all have a nice weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. You too.
Take care. Bye.